My guest today is Kent Alstead. Kent, how are you?
I am. I'm getting better by the moment.
You were up late last night.
Yeah, we're here at DevSum 17, and the show's over, and it's time for the speakers to play, and they showed us a great time, and maybe a little bit too good.
This is the dilemma I always have. I've only been to Stockholm once before. It's a great experience. I don't want to miss out on anything, but at the same time, I have to sleep. Do you see my dilemma?
Yeah.
I have to make really hard life choices.
Well, are you here for a good time or a long time? I guess, I find that when I'm coming over to these conferences in Europe, I'm normally, when sleep is supposed to be happening is so confusing that it's pretty easy to stay up almost any time.
Oh, yeah, you're from Vancouver where it's about 10:30 here right now. Is it 10-hour difference?
Yeah, it's 1:52 a.m. right now.
Perfect. You should be going to bed right now.
Thanks for straightening that all out for me.
And what did you speak on at DevSum?
I did a keynote on leadership, something that's pretty dear to my heart.
Yeah.
Not something I've done a lot of speaking on before, but I had the opportunity. I spoke here 3 years ago, and I did a talk on the best company to work for. I was the CTO. We had just sold Strange Loop Networks at that time to Radware.
Richard Campbell's partner.
Yeah. I was, at that time, I was Richard Campbell's partner. And we had a really great company culture. And I wanted to share that. And that went over really well. It was a lot about transparency and actually fun and energy in the workplace and how well that worked. And I was just, that really went over well with the Swedish audience. And, I thought it was a sort of an important topic to build on. Then I'd had even more experience. I went on to spend the next 4 years as a VP in a public company, leading a medium-sized team. And I think there was just lots of lessons. Lessons from transitioning from a startup, into a bigger company, and just the challenges of sort of shepherding and looking after a group and really getting them to excel. So I learned a lot about that and tried to bring that here.
So company culture and company success, they're not accidents. They in large part come from the leadership of the leadership team, right?
Well, I actually believe that leadership comes from everybody. Your job, a good leader is really somebody who's just in service to the people around them. Mm-hmm. I kind of think of it as you're the owner of a kitchen, and your job is to provide all the right ingredients for the soup.
Okay.
There's lots of chefs in the kitchen, but they need all the right ingredients and the right tools to, build a great soup.
Okay.
And, your job as a leader is to make everybody feel safe doing that and confident doing that and enjoy doing that, mm-hmm. but also they have to have all the right tools to do that,
enable them to do
their
job well.
I actually think that leadership is more about service and being in service to people, which I really strongly believe in my life, and I also think that leadership is really about opportunities. There's I think everybody plays leadership roles in their life all the time, with your parents, with your family, in your work life. And the question is just how do you handle those situations? Do you embrace the leadership and sometimes do you embrace following? I feel like once you're able to recognize leadership opportunities and situations, sometimes you're not the leader. In fact, as a leader, sometimes the best thing is to realize that you've delegated and that your job is not to be the leader, but to be a good follower.
Leading from behind, this is it.
Well, I don't know if it's leading from behind as much as if I've delegated something and somebody else is the leader and I happen to come into the room or be on the team or help out, because I really enjoy participating. I still want to build software. Even if I am the leader, I want to be on the team.
Right.
But if somebody else's job or is responsible for, some project, well, I can't make decisions or usurp their power or, I basically have to be a good team member.
I get the feeling that when you say leadership, that this is a much broader definition.
Yeah,
than
for me,
what most people can you define leadership?
Well, it's really all about social situations and taking a group, not just yourself, but a group of people, and having the group achieve more than they could as individuals.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of a gestalt concept. The idea is that you're trying to, you know, make the whole greater than the sum of the parts.
Okay.
And so it's about empowering each person. More than anything, yeah, I'm trying to get, you know, have each person have a great life, and as they're getting excited in their career and in their life, the whole thing seems to come together. It you know, it breeds a sort of success energy, and I think that's, you know, you want to have the feeling that when people are getting up in the morning, they're actually thinking about, you know, great day to go to work. How do I contribute, or maybe thinking of that problem, and right. In the shower coming in with, hey, this is my new approach.
Right.
What do you guys
you
think?
Want them you know, to run those last 10 steps to their desk.
Well, actually almost always the teams are distributed. So, you know, roll out of bed and, you know, start computing, or, you know, get on some Skype call that, you know, brings the right energy to the team.
Can you give me a specific example from one of your companies where you've executed on these ideas?
Sure. Try to think of. So, one of my favorite things that we did at Strange Loop was we have weekly meetings, and we decided that
entire company.
In this case, it was just the development group. So there was about 20 of us that would come together for a weekly meeting, and we wanted to breathe some energy into it. So we had our admin assistant come up with a program of, we called it 5 minutes of fun. So we would, each time we'd come into the meeting, she would be there ahead of time, and she would have organized some, you know, crazy activity that took very little time, normally allowed us to poke fun at one another, or, you know, just sometimes it was active, you know, like just, you know, normally there was the whole team was buzzing, you know, after that. We had to calm everybody down to start work again. But just the idea that not all the activities that we did are you know, and that were part of leadership that I think are important were actually development activities. Some of them were people activities.
Okay.
And actually, a lot of the time I feel like the development activities take care of themselves. When you promote a really constructive, transparent environment, they kind of take care of themselves. And I would also say that transparency is a big part of it. I had one of my senior devs is argumentative, or discusses challenges.
You sound like you're being diplomatic.
No, it was fine. I mean, what he demanded, and which I really appreciated, was that when we were talking about what we were doing, I always explained why we were doing it. What was the business motivation for it? Simon Sinek has a great TED talk called "Starting from Why," which really changed my life in many ways. Hmm. But he demanded that every time we were delegating jobs or talking about almost anything, that we started with, you know, what's the business motivation? Why are we doing this? What's,
sure.
you know, what's in it for us? And it allowed us to sort of, first of all, it allowed deep, deep questioning on pretty much every single thing that we did.
Hmm.
And I was fine with that.
Okay.
You know, it was challenging to be that transparent, I think. And I think a lot of sort of legacy management styles make it very, very difficult to be transparent. There's a notion that if you let people just ask any question they want about your business, that is going to be a problem, that you know, somehow everybody shouldn't have access to, you know, the nexus of why you're doing things.
I've never quite understood that philosophy. I understand that you can't question everything in the terms of, at some point, you need to cut the debate short and just go.
Yeah.
But
that's very,
hiding
very
information
rare.
From the people that are actually using that information makes no sense to me.
Yeah. So I don't think the motivation is usually to hide information. I think that there's a notion that, you know, sometimes you just want to make decisions and you want people to just go along with it. And people there's leaders that are so concerned with that that they imagine that that situation must crop up a lot.
Hmm.
And I have to say, as a manager or a leader, the number of times I've ever had to overrule or, you know, say, okay, we just can't come to a decision, I will have to take a decision.
Uh-huh.
You know,
That's the exception. That's not the rule.
I can't think of it in literally years. Like, it doesn't happen very often. I mean, you always reserve the right.
Sure.
You know, hey, I don't want the team to churn if they can't come to a decision. You know, somebody has to step in. But frankly, when everybody understands why you're doing something and they're all working together, there's not a real need to come in and make decisions for people if they have the responsibility. You know, you're only disenfranchising them, and you know, you're taking their power away by making a decision. Somebody at the conference came up to me and asked me, you know, what should I do? How should I handle a situation if I'm trying to mentor somebody? And you know, they came and asked me about a simple decision, and I told them, the person I was talking to said, I just told my my employee, doesn't matter, just drop that. And I said, wow, really lost an opportunity for leadership there. And they said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, why didn't you just ask them what you thought they should do?
Yeah.
You know, just what do you think we should do?
Yeah.
And you know, it's likely that they would probably say, I think we should probably drop it. It's not that important an initiative. You might, you know, most of the time they'll probably just agree with you.
Right.
But the difference in them saying it and you thinking to yourself, yeah, you know what? I agree with you.
Let's let's do that.
You know, what was the point of not letting that person own the responsibility and make the decision? So I guess it's the idea is really, how do you get the people that you're working with to believe and be responsible for their own behavior? Like all of us are. Like if you're cleaning your garage, like, do you really go to your manager to figure out where things go? I mean, people in their lives
sure,
do absolutely. Stuff all the time. They don't have to rely on others. Why is it that when we come to work, we somehow imagine that, you know, we have to go and ask our manager every second moment about how something is supposed to go? You know,
it's a bit of an outdated concept,
isn't it?
Like from the old assembly line days when they first started,
right,
directing people
and that type of attitude is especially bad on a distributed team where you can't come in and look around. Like, what if the old style management of coming in and asking people what are you doing and walking the floor? What if there's no floor?
Right.
You know, what
my manager's two states away.
Right. So if he doesn't inspire you, and first of all, if you don't understand why you're doing something, he's probably likely not around, or he's traveling, or you know, you can't. If you don't know how to make those decisions on your own, really, they haven't done a good enough job managing for you to, you know, do something together with the group. It's hard for you to act with the group. So I guess most of these concepts are even more important in a distributed team, which is, I almost only work in distributed. For the last 20 years, I've worked at home and come in and met teams, you know, once
a week. My team is very distributed.
Yeah.
Are you, now, so people aren't born great leaders, or most people are not. How do they exercise this muscle and get better at it?
Well, that's actually was a key to my talk, or what I believe is that when people recognize leadership situations and come, you know, learn to see that somebody's coming to them for advice, or they have an opportunity where they own some, you know, particular mandate, that they spot the situation, that they realize they're in a position of leadership. And then there's basic components, you know, they have to have a vision, they have to have a plan, right? You know, they have to have enthusiasm and commitment for the job. And I think that, first of all, learning to understand when are the leadership opportunities there, when am I in those situations?
So maybe just being aware and looking for those.
Yeah, it's the first thing is, I think, being aware of when it's happening. I gave the example of a simple leadership situation that everybody gets themselves into at work is when they have to plan their vacation. So normally what that means is that you've got to organize other people to do a particular job
while you're gone. Yeah.
So even though it may not appear like that's a management situation, almost the definition of management, I mean, it's involving a group, other people are going to have to do it. You're going to have to delegate, and you're going to have to
describe. And they may not be reporting directly to you.
That's exactly right. So you're going to have to lead them through influence. They're likely going to have to make decisions while you're gone, which means that you know, you're going to probably have to say why you're doing things. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to plan. So, you know, as an example, I think pretty much every employee in a company or every team member on a team has an opportunity to lead and delegate when they almost out of necessity every year or multiple times a year. And so that's just one example. Another common example is anytime somebody comes up and asks you a question. Well, if somebody comes to you and, you know, and says, hey, how would you handle this? How do I get that done? Where, you know, well, there's an opportunity to, you know, be a kind teacher, mm-hmm. you know, to lead that person, you know, to either, well, what do you think we should do? You know, mm-hmm. empower them. You can start using your leadership skills. There's lots of reading to be done on the topic. Mm-hmm. I personally find that almost all the people that I've mentored into management and leadership positions in my life, I would argue at some point people would have said, oh, that person will never be a manager. In fact, the common myth of managers is that it takes some special person to be a manager.
Yeah, that you're born with special magic.
Yeah, and the truth of it is, I think that's normally that there's an incompetent manager above, not able to properly delegate, and more often than not, the challenge is that the person above is not letting and mentoring that person to actually succeed. And in most tech jobs, I do not believe that management is the most difficult thing that they would have to tackle as a skill. Mm-hmm. You know, regular expressions are probably more difficult skill for many people to
have
to learn.
It is for me, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely. I think that one of the overriding points you're making is that the management is a muscle that you can exercise, a skill. It's not necessarily a talent.
I mean,
there are a few people that maybe were born with better aptitude for mm-hmm. leadership, just like any other skill. But that doesn't mean that all of us can't improve it.
Absolutely.
And this idea that somehow we have that thing that makes us a great manager, a great leader, is kind of self-defeating. We need to say whatever we lack, let's exercise that. Let's improve.
Yeah, and I guess I'm just I try to bring that out or encourage people to do it. It's a lot like letting your child ride a bike. You know, at some point you let the bike go, and yes, the bike, they could fall over and hurt themselves.
But they don't
that's
die.
That's you know,
they get it back up on it.
Yeah, there needs to be course correction. The course correction has to come from within. And actually, if you let people do that, they actually learn. You know, just like people learn to, you know, average human can ride a bike. Well, I actually believe that given the chance to ride, most humans can be adequate managers. They might not be superstars, but not
and
every...
They can improve.
Right. And the job of riding a bike for most people is getting from A to B. They're not trying to be track stars on their... Right. You know, not everybody has to be that. So, I think that if the job is to get from A to B efficiently, we can all ride bikes well enough. If the job is to manage people well enough to do most tasks... Right. We're not doing an expedition to the North Pole here. You know, we're normally able to get through that. I would say that ultimately leading a startup, for example, to success takes a real perseverance, and I think that you have to have honed a lot of your leadership skills. Like, I see communication and management fail, and that's probably a key reason that startups have problems at times, that, you know, they might have other ingredients, but then at some point it becomes a social communication issue as you're growing this company. So I think it's important to have, you know, flex those muscles all along the way and through your career, so then when you finally take off and are doing that wonderful thing, that you've got those, you know, those skills or something there to help you out, right?
Excellent. Well, Ken, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
I really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on. My new startup is called Cloud Army. It's a technology company that's really focused on psychometrics and what's called implicit association testing. And it's really a group of great friends that have got together who are also awesome technologists. And it is just such a pleasure to work in. I'm in a position right now where most mornings as I start work, I knock on wood, because I love my job and I love working together with this group in this industry. So I'm hoping at some point they see this and they see how much I appreciate being on that team and enjoying building something great with them.